This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Vicki Barker.
Gathered today here in New Hampshire on a sad day in America. The day after a former president of the United States faces an unprecedented indictment.
Former Vice President Mike Pence speaking in the past hour.
This morning I called on the Attorney General Merrick Garland to unseal the indictment and stand before the press and the American people and explain the reasons for this unprecedented indictment.
Former President Donald Trump facing 7 federal criminal charges over those classified documents found at his Florida residence. CBS's John Dickerson says Trump is in for a potentially bruising court battle.
It's not only the retention of records and the possible dissemination of information that's the most highly sensitive, but it's also obstruction of justice. When you receive a subpoena, you can't lie about whether you've answered the subpoena. You're not supposed to in the system. And one of the bedrock principles is that everybody is treated the same.
More from CBS's Catherine Herridge.
A law enforcement source tells CBS News that later today, the U.S. Secret Service and Trump staff will meet to develop a threat assessment and security plan for Tuesday's arraignment in Miami.
And a source has confirmed to CBS News that Judge Eileen Cannon's name was on the summons sent to Trump, so she may be the trial judge overseeing the case. She's previously made a series of rulings in his favor. Smog from Canada wildfires. The Weather Channel's Stephanie Abrams says relief is in sight.
This weekend and early next week, a system will come through that's going to give us more of a southerly flow, direct the smoke away from the U.S. The rain is going to help clear out the air, and it's going to fall right over the flame.
The main suspect in the 2005 disappearance of 18-year-old Natalie Holloway on the island of Aruba is in an Alabama courthouse today. Joran Vanderslot facing charges not of murder, but of wire fraud and extortion. CBS's Janet Chamlian has more from Birmingham.
In 2010, a federal grand jury indicted the Dutch national, accusing him of trying to extort $250,000 from Holloway's family in exchange for details about the location of Natalie's body. The information was false.
Vanderslot's been temporarily extradited from Peru, where he's serving a prison sentence for the 2010 murder of a woman there. A possible new weapon against long COVID.
A common diabetes medication is shown to be helpful at preventing long COVID. A new study published in The Lancet found metformin, when taken after testing positive for COVID, led to 40% fewer long COVID diagnoses over the next 10 months compared to those who took a placebo. It's not clear whether the medication is helpful for those who already have long COVID.
CBS's Michael George. This is CBS News.
There are over 10,000 reasons why steel is not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot. There are over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot trademarks of their respective companies.
For the ones who knows in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is the Civic Media Network News Update.
That's according to new research from Forward Analytics, an arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association. More than 4,300 people died from fentanyl between 2015 and 2021. For some perspective, fentanyl now kills twice as many young people in Wisconsin as car crashes, and more older people than liver disease. I'm Stuart J. Waddles for Civic Media News.
Bob Donnell is the publisher of Wisconsin Conservative Digest. 3 weeks ago, he brought a complaint to the Wisconsin Elections Commission claiming Michaels verbally agreed to pay Donnell $100,000 for organizing political events he hosted. Now Michaels is suing Donnell in Waukesha County Court. Michaels' lawyer says his client never hired Donnell. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
The outcome is reverberating in states where redistricting has been a thorny issue. Wisconsin is among them, and Greg Lewis of the group Souls to the Polls Wisconsin says the ruling gives credibility to arguments that marginalized populations often lack a political voice because of the way voting districts are drawn.
This scorched earth politics, this win at any cost, must stop. It has to be fair for everyone, not just a few.
Those calling for fair maps in Wisconsin were already hopeful after April's state Supreme Court race. The outcome saw liberals secure a majority among justices. Republicans, who have led redistricting efforts in Wisconsin, have long denied that they rely on a skewed approach. I'm Mike Moen.
For all those who've only ever wanted to be and belong, who've had to find their own family, and who've never known home, you belong here, you are family here, and you are welcome home here.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Kuska. A man accused of stabbing his mother in the neck in Barron County is charged with attempted homicide, according to online court records. 30-year-old Michael Townsend is being held on a $50,000 cash bond at the Barron County Jail after the Barron County Sheriff's Department said he stabbed his 54-year-old mother in the back of the neck after an argument over money. The woman was flown to a hospital in Eau Claire with her injuries. An Eau Claire man is charged after allegedly hitting a teenager with a gun. 40-year-old Dennis Peterson was charged with 5 felonies and 2 misdemeanors, all with the use of a dangerous weapon, after firing a handgun during an argument with a group of teenagers, according to online court records and a release from the Eau Claire Police Department. A 17-year-old boy needed stitches after being hit by the gun, but no one else was hurt. Peterson's next court appearance is in July. The 64th annual Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals are set to begin tonight at the Richland County Fairgrounds. The weekend-long competition will determine who will compete for a berth in the National High School Rodeo Finals in Wyoming next month. The first performance of the Rodeo Finals will be at 7 o'clock. Today is also the start of Altoona's Cinder City Days, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. A parade, music, car show, and more will be held tomorrow as part of the event. And it wouldn't be June without June Dairy Breakfast. The Washburn County Fairgrounds are hosting the Tri-County Dairy Breakfast tomorrow morning. Vernon County's will be held tomorrow near Viroqua, while Pepin County's will be at Churchview Dairy of Duran tomorrow morning. On Sunday, the Richland County Dairy Breakfast will be held at Red Bray Dairy just north of Muscadet, and Grant County's will be held at the Stonefield Historic Site in Cassville. You can find out more information about June Dairy Month at wisconsindairy.org. And the state high school softball championships continue today in Madison at Goodman Diamond. Somerset is playing Broadhead right now in D3. Later tonight, Superior faces Sun Prairie East, and the winners will play in the championship games tomorrow. The state baseball and girls soccer championships will be held next week. For Civic Media News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. It's Friday, and I think today's conditions will have you saying that too. High pressure continues to keep the skies sunny alongside light west winds. It will also be a tad bit warmer than the past few days as the entire state flirts with 80 degrees. If you're looking for cooler temperatures, head to the Great Lakes, where highs will stay in the mid-60s. Still no humidity in the air, and most of us waiting for the rain to return. But as it stays away again today, keep in mind, we are again in an elevated fire risk, especially in the northwest portions of the state. Be sure to be careful with any activities that could potentially lead to a wildfire. Tonight, temperatures dip comfortable again into the upper 50s to 60s across the state, which is perfect to open those windows up. Tomorrow, a cold front slides down throughout the state, bringing more clouds and much-needed rain along with it, as we are currently experiencing drought conditions statewide. Most should expect to get a quarter of an inch to up to a half an inch of rainfall. Have a fantastic Friday and stay cool, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
A surprising move in the NFL. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Minnesota Vikings are going to release their Pro Bowl running back Delvin Cook tomorrow. Cook has been with the team 6 years. Last night, it was reported the Vikings may also be shopping defensive end Danielle Hunter for a trade. The move seen as a way to make salary cap space for their star wide receiver, Justin Jefferson. In Green Bay, the Packers wrapping up OTAs. Receiver Romeo Doubs asked how the practices went.
It's been fast. You know, I mean, I know coming into this building, I knew what I was getting myself into. I know how much of an offensive guy LaFleur is.
Jordan Love has struggled at times throwing tight spirals when passing on the move.
Yeah, no, I'm working through that right now with the balls right now, but there's a couple tight wobblers out there. As a quarterback, it's never fun to see the ball, you know, kind of not spinning exactly how you want to.
How can it be corrected? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
You always continue to work on just the mechanics, the smooth throwing motion.
NBA, the Bucks taking a break after introducing their new head coach, Adrian Griffin. Marjan Beauchamp is headed out of town to meet Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I'm actually taking off to Greece tomorrow, so I don't know where he's at right now, but I'm supposed to meet him.
In Greece?
Yep.
What are you guys going to do while you're over there?
Train to go, and we're going to get ready for next season.
Game 4 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow night. Denver leads 2-1. Baseball, the Brewers with a big win last night at American Family Field in front of over 22,000 fans, a 10-2 win over the Baltimore Orioles. The series wraps up this afternoon. Joey Weimer with a diving catch in the outfield and hitting 2 home runs. Says it was the new mullet haircut he got last week on their road trip against the Reds.
So my buddy Dre in Cincinnati, he's cut my hair for the last like 6 years. He might not be the most precise barber of all time, but he's my barber, so.
Pitcher Corbin Burns, who dealt 8 scoreless innings, says having a bat like Weimer at the bottom of the order sparks the offense.
It makes the bottom lineup really tough. When you get guys swinging a bat like that, guys at the bottom getting on base, flipping lineup over for Yelly and Willie and Rowdy at the top, it makes your offense that more dynamic.
Willie Adames had a home run in his first at bat after taking a hard hit foul ball to the side of his head back in May, and told us what the doctors told him in the emergency room.
Especially after he saw the video, he said it right away, like, you're lucky and you have a really hard head. And I was like, everybody know that.
With Adames back, another popular player, Bryce Terang, had to be sent down to the minors. Terang had been 0-21 at the plate before a clutch hit Tuesday night. Even the voice of the Brewers, Bob Uecker, spoke with Terang as he packed his bags.
Keep your head up. Keep doing you, and I'll figure it out.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell on what he told Bryce Terang before he left.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brandon Woodruff got options. Corbin Burns got options. Freddie Peralta got options. This is, great, very, very good players in the major leagues that have great careers get options. It's just where he's at right now.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The old weekend's off to a pretty nice start here today. Partly cloudy, up to 83 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 60. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms are possible. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high of 81. Sunday will be nice. Partly cloudy, cooler, and a lot less humid with a high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 76.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, and I'm joined today by Mr. Luke Mathers. Luke, how are you doing this wonderful Friday afternoon?
I'm doing good, Will. TGIF is... I'm glad to be here with you here on Town Call. Excited. I'm really grateful that we have the talent of the callers, because I know that you and I, after this long week, no talent on our end. Just we are solely reliant on the callers here. And Aaron's help as well. Aaron's help as well.
I have he's still got some talent. Any day of the week, but especially so on Friday, which is, in fact, my favorite Wednesday of the week, to some of our longtime listeners that have been listen following Wednesday segments.
Yeah, listen to a previous rendition of the two of us.
a little bit of a callback there. Aaron, how are you doing today on this gorgeous, gorgeous Friday afternoon?
Doing pretty well. Yeah, it's nice outside. It's not too hot, unlike some of the last few days. So I look forward to spending some time outside once I'm done here today.
Mm-hmm. That's my advice to all Wisconsinites. Get outside, enjoy a little bit of sun. You know, Wisconsin summer, we only get... it feels like a few weeks of it every year, honestly, but enjoy it while we got it. Today, we are talking the big news of the day, both in Wisconsin and nationally. Former United States President Donald Trump has been federally indicted on 7 counts of, let me get the...
Well, we don't quite know yet, Will, is part of it. They are still sealed, but the former president yesterday and sources close to the president revealing it to other sources in the news, but the president, former president himself, coming out and saying that he was indicted. So he's the one that shared the information. The story broke last night, but it is an unprecedented situation the country is now in, with a former president being indicted on, as you note, 7 charges, it seems like, but those charges currently sealed.
According to a person familiar with the indictment, granted anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly, prosecutors are charging the former president with 7 criminal counts. The precise charges that federal prosecutors have obtained against Trump were not immediately clear. However, one of Trump's attorneys indicated that a summons issued by prosecutors listed a provision of the Espionage Act and a federal statute criminalizing the obstruction of an official proceeding. These additional crimes, while under seal for now, according to Jim Trusty, again, one of Trump's attorneys, who said in a television interview Thursday night that he had seen a summons document from prosecutors that summarized the laws as including, as I said, the provision of the Espionage Act prohibiting retention of classified materials, a statute that prohibits the obstruction of an official proceeding, a statute that prohibits falsifying or destroying records pertinent to a federal investigation, and statutes prohibiting false statements and conspiracies. So my question for you today, Luke, and my question to you, the people of Wisconsin, is should a United States president be able to unilaterally declassify any documents or any information that they wish at any time and for any reason? Please give us a call and share your thoughts, 844-967-2789. Luke, this is... you touched on it. This is unprecedented territory. This is the first time a former president has been federally indicted. Donald Trump obviously had the entirety of his presidency was kind of marred with firsts. It was the first time that a lot of, we'll say, stereotypical norms, gentlemen's agreement, if you will, of American politics had kind of been broken. And we're seeing the ramifications now, even 3 years after he left office, that a lot of these problems are not going to go away.
Yeah, the groundbreaking nature of a former president being indicted for, we don't know all the charges, but something associated with the Espionage Act, I feel like is probably, this has got to be the biggest news story of possibly, if not the decade, the century, because like this is a big deal. And there's some individuals out there that say, oh, well, it's a witch hunt, or this isn't something you do. You don't indict your political rivals. I think the United States Department of Justice has gone through and when these charges are unsealed, we'll see the work that was done that went into them. But it is something that if a crime is committed, I would expect the law enforcement. We are a nation of laws, not of men. We are a nation of laws, and if nobody is above those laws. So if laws were broken, indictments should be coming down, and it will be interesting to see once these are unsealed what's all included in them. But the strange nature of going onto social media and saying, oh, I've been indicted, is a weird way to react to an indictment in any regard. I think it's a process that you are innocent until proven guilty, but our law enforcement agents have a responsibility to hold individuals accountable if laws are broken. And we are in the middle right now of seeing this process unfold.
Well, and it's interesting, Luke. The Mar-a-Lago raid in particular, I think, is a prime example of what you just mentioned, where the Department of Justice played that pretty close to the chest. The only reason that the public really knew about it and the reason that it became a massive story was because Donald Trump himself promoted it on his social medias. He just seems unable to kind of keep his mouth shut in any way, shape, or form. I don't know if it's the long history of being able to talk himself out of any situations. I was reading an article that earlier today that noted, you know, Trump has a very long history of having avoided legal culpability, both in his personal, professional, and political life. He's settled a number of private civil lawsuits through the years, paid his way out of disputes concerning the Trump Organization. I mean, he was impeached twice by the Democratic-led House as president of the United States, but avoided conviction both times. The Justice Department's criminal investigation into the retention of classified information at Mar-a-Lago, as well as the attempts to overturn the 2020 election, has been now at the forefront of many people's minds for 3 years now. And, you know, the wheels of justice turn slowly, right? This kind of indictment could not happen overnight. I'm inclined to think that the evidence is likely pretty overwhelming to take this kind of step. And it's going to be really, really, really interesting to see how this plays out in the coming days, weeks, and months, because you noted this might be the story of the decade, right? I feel like we've been saying that for so many different stories over the past 4 to 5 years, where something happened and it's just like, wow, this is absolutely unprecedented. We're going to be talking about this for years. And then an even bigger story comes out a week later that just sweeps that first story under the rug. I've actually heard a lot of people in my circle kind of talk about how Donald Trump has used that as a strategy himself to avoid culpability, in that you can't pin him down for one bad thing that he did if everybody has moved on to the next bad thing that he did. And if you make it incrementally worse each time, there's never going to be one singular moment where it's like, oh my God, this is so egregious, something has to be done. Perhaps this is that moment. It reminds me of that quote where there are decades where weeks happen and weeks where decades happen, right? You look at yesterday, just mammoth news stories right in a row, the Supreme Court decision on racial gerrymandering, Donald Trump's indictment. And then we have all of this coming to a head now in the first week of June. We're sitting here on a beautiful Friday afternoon talking about what, in your words and in my opinion, very well might be the great story of the year, if not longer. If you have thoughts to share on the Donald Trump indictment, please give us a call at 844-967-2789. We're continuing this conversation as it again, we cannot understate just how massive, massive, massive this story is, particularly because, Luke, keep in mind that Donald Trump is currently the front runner for 2024. He is leading in virtually all polling for the Republican primary. Could this impact the presidential race? Do you think this is going to have potentially sway the minds of conservative primary voters? Or do you think this might rally them, confirm a lot of the ideas that they had that, again, Donald Trump had been promoting, that this is a witch hunt, that I'm innocent? I mean, he even released a video last night, a 4-minute video on social media, of course, saying that the Department of Justice is being weaponized, the investigations against him are election interference. He said, and I quote, "I am an innocent man. I did nothing wrong," unquote. 2024 is coming, and it's coming fast. What are the ramifications that we could see for this race based on the Trump indictments that were announced?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is, outside of polling, we're not going to see anything until Iowa caucus goers go to their libraries, their town halls, and where they caucus come the end of January, beginning of February of next year. That's the true time point when we are going to see what all of this buildup of the legal ramifications of Donald Trump's with this indictment announcement yesterday. That's the first time we're going to see the actual political ramifications of it. It's not going to be until Republican primary voters go to their caucuses and their polling places to show their indication of whether or not this is a big deal to them. So between now and 6-7 months from now, we're not going to get to see a whole lot of the political ramifications. It's going to be Republican primary voters that will determine those, Will. And so it's going to be an interesting aspect of seeing, as it is important to point out, there were state charges brought against the former president in New York earlier this year. There are other ongoing legal concerns, I would say, that the former president has to be keeping an eye on. There is a grand jury in Georgia that the district attorney there in Fulton County has indicated they may be gathering for recommendations of charges this summer. So there's a lot going on here in 2023. It's going to be interesting to see, but a while to see how Republican primary voters react to this news, and that's not going to be until early 2024.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it, there are so many cases coming through at this point. There's Georgia, there's New York. It just seems like it's one after another. And I think you touched on the crux of it, and I'll give you, I like to give credit where credit is due, Luke, that
do
this
you?
Is the point that you made ripping on me, because it's a point that I usually make, in that the vast majority of American political issues come down to accountability. Nobody wants to be held responsible for their mistakes. Everybody wants to push the blame onto somebody else. Everybody wants to be beyond repercussions. And in this particular example might be the best one we have seen yet, where do you draw the line? What is and is not allowed from an individual? We're going to touch on that after the break and get some more reactions, both from the listeners of Wisconsin and pundits at the national level. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News special report. Former President Donald Trump, facing 7 federal criminal indictments, plans to keep on campaigning for a second term. CBS's Catherine Herridge says this could be Trump's biggest legal threat yet.
This is the most serious legal exposure that he faces, because these are criminal charges that have to do with the stewardship of national security. And he is promoting himself as someone who has the skill set and the trust to be a president of the United States for a second term.
CBS CBS's Natalie Brand on the evidence against Trump.
A key piece of evidence is expected to be an audio recording. CBS News confirmed investigators obtained a recording in which the former president acknowledges he held on to a sensitive Pentagon memo about Iran after leaving the White House.
Trump's former vice president turned Republican presidential rival Mike Pence has condemned the indictment. Trump will be arraigned in Miami on Tuesday. CBS News Special Report, I'm Vicki Barker.
Unthawed or thawed? These are the questions the Kripescast will cover every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Can you just pull them brats out of the freezer? That'd be fantastic.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. It's an eventful weekend across the western part of the state, and that includes June Dairy Breakfast. The Washburn County Fairgrounds are hosting the Tri-County Dairy Breakfast tomorrow morning. In Vernon County, it'll be held near Viroqua, and Pepin County's will be at the Churchview Dairy of Durand. On Sunday, the Richland County Dairy Breakfast will be held at Redbury Dairy just north of Muscadet, and Grant County's will be held at Cassville. You can find out more information at wisconsindairy.org. The 64th annual Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals are set to begin tonight at the Richland County Fairgrounds. The weekend-long competition determines who will compete for a berth in the National High School Rodeo Finals in Wyoming next month. First performance is tonight at 7. And the State High School Softball Championships are continuing today in Madison. It was Broadhead defeating Somerset 5-0 in D3. Later tonight, Superior takes on Sun Prairie East. Championship games are tomorrow. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
When snack time rolls around, don't settle for the same old. Spice it up with Emmanuel's Mix. Imagine this. Corn rice cereal, pretzels, and mammoth pecans, plus a unique coating that perfectly melts sweet and salty. Emmanuel's Mix Spicy Blend even won first place in the Grand Champion Eats and Treats competition at the Wisconsin State Fair. Now that's tasty. A proud member of Something Special from Wisconsin and served on the sweet level of Fiserv Forum. Emmanuel's Mix. Log on to emmanuelsmix.com. That's EmmanuelsMix.com and get snacking.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out, and for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call. I'm William Walter, joined by Luke Mathers. If you want to share a thought on the Donald Trump indictment with us today, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can be like Jeannie from Eau Claire. Jeannie, what are your thoughts on the Donald Trump indictment?
Well, guys, I don't know how coherent I am this morning, but I was very relieved and hoping, you know, and maybe have some solace that maybe somebody's going to hold this guy accountable, you know, after watching all the crimes that he's committed and throughout his life and while our president and after. I'm hoping that everything goes well, and I'm hoping that people with the R after their name wake up at what they have. This is the most important, arrest or indictment that I've ever seen in my life. And while I was at the university, I started on my 17th birthday and graduated early from high school. My roommates at Eau Claire they had the broom slate, and they were very active in trying to hold Nixon accountable for his crimes. So this makes Nixon look like a little baby crime compared to all of the crimes and all of the uproar and division and, you know, his obstruction and his... it's unbelievable to me that he's still walking free. But one thing I want to say is he couldn't have did this alone. If it was just Trump doing this and people, you know, were honest and had integrity and believed in the rule of law, he never would have gotten this far. So I'm hoping if there is any integrity left in those who are serving us that have an R after their name, that they need to stop the BS and saying that this is a witch hunt, because they know darn well what he did, and in fact, a lot of them aided and abetted. So that's my 2 cents worth, guys. Thank you so much for taking up this subject, and you have a good day.
Oh, thanks, Jeannie. You as well. Now, that's a really interesting point that you brought up, because we are already seeing a number of Trump's allies rallying to his defense. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tweeted that it was, quote, a dark day for the United States of America, unquote. It is unconscionable for a president to indict the leading candidate opposing him. Joe Biden kept classified documents for decades. The radical far left will stop at nothing to interfere with the 2024 election in order to prop up the catastrophic presidency and desperate campaign of Joe Biden, from Elise Stefanik, a New York Republican and the House GOP conference chairwoman. Jim Jordan said, sad day for America. God bless President Trump. You're exactly right, Jeannie. The keys to power are not held by one individual's hands. It takes a number of people to allow, to protect, to defend someone at this level with you know, so many criminally liable behavior having occurred, that you can't get away with this by yourself. Now, I will note that there are other Republican rivals who have taken the opposite approach and have been openly critical of Donald Trump. People like former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, who put out a statement saying that Trump has become a distraction and should end his campaign. Mike Pence, the former vice president, said that, quote, anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States, unquote. And former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who said during his kickoff event in New Hampshire last week that Trump is, quote, obsessed with the mirror, never admits a mistake, never admits a fault, and always finds someone else and something else to blame for whatever goes wrong, but finds every reason to take credit for anything that goes right, unquote.
Well, I think
it comes back to what we talked about earlier, right? Accountability.
It's important to note, though, that all three of those men that you just quoted are running against him in the contest to see who will be the nominee for the Republican Party in 2024. And so it seems like only the primary challengers, the Republican primary challengers in that presidential bid, are the ones criticizing the actions surrounding this indictment. It's going to be interesting to see. Law enforcement officials are already planning on a court appearance by the former president in Miami next week. And again, it's unprecedented this gets talked about. No, normally, if you get indicted, you're not going out and airing your grievances in public. But apparently, this is what we're going to be talking about now until that court hearing, because the former president wanted his grievances to be heard. And it seems like he would rather have this be discussed in the court of public opinion rather than the court of law.
Great point, Luke. Yeah, I mean... Trump himself said on social media that he has been ordered to report to the federal courthouse in Miami next Tuesday. Now, Miami is part of the federal district that includes Palm Beach, where Mar-a-Lago is located. It's possible Trump could face further charges in D.C., where the documents investigation led by Special Counsel Jack Smith has been based. However, it's looking like it's more likely to be Miami right now. And Luke, you had an interesting point before the show on what this could mean. Could you?
Well, already what we learned so far this morning, with further legal documents coming out of the federal court where this will be heard, Reuters is reporting that the Trump-appointed judge is going to preside over the initial court appearance next week. The same court-appointed judge that reviewed the original classified documents case and appointed a special master, which was then overturned on appeal. And so Elaine Cannon, I want to say it's either Eileen or Elaine, I don't know for certain, and I apologize, Ms. Cannon, but that federal judge is who is going to be overhearing this case as it gets brought before the federal judiciary.
Excellent point, Luke. So I'd like to hear from the people of Wisconsin, what are your thoughts on the Donald Trump indictment? Please give us a call, 844-967-2789, and you can be like Joe from Madison. Joe, former president was just indicted. What are your thoughts?
Great. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. I know, Luke, that your heart is firmly wedded to the importance of tangents, and I am all about tangents as giving a fuller context to things. I find it kind of amazing that one of Mr. Trump's lawyers, Jim Trusty, who had said in very belligerent fighting tones yesterday to the government, if they want to continue to play games, they're going to give it to us at 3:01 on Tuesday. Well, Mr. Trusty and another lawyer representing Trump, John Rowley, I believe is his name, both resigned, tendered their resignations this morning. And I thought, whoa, that's an interesting little sidebar, isn't it? And I couldn't find out what reasons were given for them to tender their resignations, and I know this happens, but I found it kind of amazing that, you know, they were slinging hard yesterday and out of the game as of this morning, which I found just fascinating. And in terms of your the question of what are other Republicans going to say about this, I did find I was reading one article that said that they're going to perhaps try to sell it as that Trump was just a really bad file clerk. And I thought, wow, that's nervy. Let's see if that happens. So anyway, I would be fascinated to find out why Mr. Trusty decided to leave the building along with John Rowling and tendered his resignation. Is he tied up with other cases? Does he think it's a no-go? Anyway, so that's a tangent I'd love to see picked apart in the next weeks. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, you guys.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Of course. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I mean, we're going to see. We'll have to wait and see. That's we don't know exactly how this is going to play out. I think, Luke, an interesting tangent that you just brought up was, is Donald Trump trying to play this out in the court of public opinion rather than the criminal justice, rather than in criminal justice court, because he recognizes that his case is weak? Or is it because he just thinks that the public is going to naturally side with him? Is it a case of narcissism, as Chris Christie says, that he's unable to look in a mirror and see any of his own faults or take responsibility for anything? Is it that he's throwing anything at a wall to see what sticks? I mean, this is kind of unprecedented in more ways than one. As you touched on, very few people will come out and say, oh, yeah, I got indicted. Like, oh, bummer. Let's see what we can do about it. Let's see if we can figure it out. But Donald Trump has kind of made his entire political career based on what the public, his voters, his fans, let's say, believe about him. Even after the news Thursday evening, Trump began immediately fundraising, issuing an email appeal to donors under the heading Breaking Indicted, where he, of course, railed against the charges, rebuked the Justice Department, but said things like, I never thought it possible that such a thing could happen to a former president of the United States. I am an innocent man, using this as an effort to try to generate more funds for his upcoming 2024 presidential race. Is this just a master of modern media who has figured out a way to really avoid all responsibility and accountability because he is able to have such a fervent base of supporters, regardless of what he does and says?
We're watching it unfold right now. I don't know. It's going to be a test to see how broad that base of support that he has amongst the Republican primary voters, because ultimately that's going to be where we see the political accountability. As I've already noted, we're not going to see any of that until voters go to the caucuses and then go to the polls 7 months from now. And so it's going to be some time before we get to see that. So it is a lot of sitting and waiting. As you noted, the wheels of justice turn slowly, but the political cycles go this far out pretty slowly too. Like, it's hard to believe we're already in the 2024 cycle, but voters don't actually get to the polls before that. I'll have to look up the Iowa caucus date. I want to say it's the end of January, beginning of February of 2024.
Mm-hmm. So we do have a little bit of time, but again, it'll be here before you know it. We've talked over the past couple of months how Wisconsin election cycles never seem to end, as we have special elections after special elections, after race after race after race. We talked about it over the past week, whether or not there are too many elections. Should we be allowing more of the of a pure democratic process, or should we defer to our elected officials? Well, here is a situation where an elected official has, according to the Department of Justice, clearly broken the law in numerous different ways. And are they, I guess the question then becomes, are they above the law? Is anybody above the law? Or is your status as former president, you know, leader of the free world, elected commander-in-chief of the United States government, does that make you untouchable? And I think that's a conversation that a lot of people are going to start needing to have with their friends, their family, their loved ones, because I think there is a subset of the population who, regardless of what the Department of Justice says occurred, despite what proof the Department of Justice may or may not have, they are going to believe that the Department of Justice is either falsifying or making up information or bending context to try to paint Donald Trump in a bad picture so that they can get him, whether that's because of the deep state or Joe Biden or whatever argument you might want, you might hear from this. It's an argument that I've heard presented quite a few different ways. And at the end of the day, it comes down to whether or not any individual, not just Donald Trump, any American citizen has to follow the rule of law in the same way that the rest of us do.
Well, the country had the opportunity to hold a chief executive liable for potential crimes committed, and in decades ago, the country chose instead, the political leadership instead had Nixon resign and then pardoned him. And they kind of did away with these questions throughout the 70s. It just got, oh, we're going to sweep this under the rug, hope it never happens again. And now we as a nation are facing these questions again, because ultimately we find ourselves as a nation that is now asking the question, do we hold our political figures, if they are the president or anybody, accountable for crimes and wrongdoing that they may have committed? And so when these charges get unsealed and we continue to see this legal picture that's developing now in federal court down in Florida, it's going to be an interesting next step to keep an eye on of what comes next.
And we will certainly be keeping an eye on that. We will be discussing that, and we would love to hear your thoughts on that every single day on Town Call. If you'd like to participate in the forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We got a fun segment coming after the break, Luke. We're going to start a new tradition that I came up with totally on my own with no assistance whatsoever from anyone in the world, especially not Luke, called Wisconsin Headline Fridays. We want to hear your best Wisconsin headline of the week. Please stick with us after the break.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
At Lakeland Care, we build better lives. As a nonprofit organization offering care management in northeastern Wisconsin, our staff lives and works in the areas we serve. Through customized plans designed to help eligible elders and adults with disabilities live independently, we offer a unique, people-centered approach to family care. That's because we know how important it is to remain connected to your family, friends, and community. Learn more about our long-term care options by contacting your county Aging and Disability Resource Center.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens.
We've been out here all day. We've had 5 or 6 beers and only one fish.
93.5, The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Hazy sunshine into the evening, highs in the mid-80s. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 60s. Chance of showers and storms tomorrow, and a high around 80. Sunny, breezy, and low 70s Sunday. Back into sunshine again on Monday, a high into the mid-70s. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers on this wonderful Friday, June 9th afternoon. And Luke, we touched on it before the break. I'm trying to start a new tradition around here with an idea that I came up with, again, totally by myself, with no help whatsoever and had nothing to do with you. We're going to be looking for the best Wisconsin headlines that you can find throughout the course of the week, and we want to talk about it on Friday. So if you have a great Wisconsin headline or you think something that just screams, this is Wisconsin, please give us a call, share it with us, 844-967-2789. I am proud to announce that I defeated Mr. Luke Mathers in rock, paper, scissors over the commercial break, which earned the right to share my Wisconsin headline of the week first. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that this is going to be our champion headline, and I did not want to give you the opportunity to swoop in front of me and steal it. So I'm reading from a piece at Fox 6 Milwaukee, Get Paid to Eat Cheese, University of Wisconsin Hiring Cheese Taste Testers. I will note that I found this article after Googling it right before the show started because I had the source material, a job offer at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, descriptive sensory panelist. The job summary states, the Center for Dairy Research is looking for individuals passionate about all types of food, but especially cheese, pizza, and other dairy products. Once hired, you will be trained to become part of a group of expert tasters capable of verbally describing their sensory experiences on the basis of appearance, texture, taste, and aroma attributes for research and product development purposes. Panelists should expect to be tasting up to 24 cheese samples and 12 pizzas a week, along with other food products. Now, Luke, a job description doesn't necessarily qualify for a great Wisconsin headline of the week, so I am glad I found this piece at Fox 6. But this can't be defeated, right? This has to be our champion. What is more Wisconsin than, hey, do you want to come eat cheese and we're going to pay you for it?
I'm searching my likes because I'm pretty sure I shared this story on Twitter 4 days ago, and this was my positive. I had 2 entries. I did my homework. Well,
my article was published June 8th, so that is inaccurate.
No. I shared the details of the job posting when the job posting started earlier this week, and I said, gotcha. Boy, that's a good job. And so this was my positive. I went in 2 directions with my homework. I found a great reason to be a Wisconsin in the headlines and a not so great Wisconsin kind of attribute that our state has in the second headline. Yes, I did see this job posting. I did see this being used as a news story at several different outlets around the state today and yesterday.
Have you considered being better at rock, paper, scissors? And perhaps you could have presented
it's a chance
yourself.
Of, what do you got, a 33% chance of winning? Now, I guess you could draw, so stop it. Like, it was...
I'm not a mathematician, Luke, but I am a champion rock, paper, scissors player. I'll teach you in the future. Let's see your headline. What do you got for me?
Hang on. I'm real quick. I'm looking for my I have to check the notes to see where what day I liked this because I'm telling you, I saw it already.
I believe you, Luke. I believe you.
Yes.
I just think you need to get better at elementary school games.
Yeah. I don't think it's an elementary school one. I think that's a classic one. If you've got a Most Wisconsin headline of the week, we want to hear it. 844-967-2789. Can it beat Will's Get Paid to Eat Cheese? Or can it beat mine, which I saw earlier in the week? And it's kind of just a depressing headline, really, because this was just one police department in southern Wisconsin that had this. But unfortunately, it just seems like this is a problem we as Wisconsin continue to have. Mine is over at the State Journal, the Wisconsin State Journal, with the headline, Janesville police make 5 OWI arrests overnight, including a 6th and 5th offense. So just the city of Janesville, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, arresting 5 individuals for operating while intoxicated. And that is just a very Wisconsin headline if I've ever seen one. It just pops up far too frequently, unfortunately. Folks, drink responsibly. Do not get behind the wheel, especially when it finds out, your 5th and 6th offense for 2 of those individuals arrested in Janesville on Wednesday night.
Inexcusable. I wish we had kind of just stuck in with the cheese now because that's...
Well, I told you, I had 2 directions to go with my most Wisconsin headlines of the week, and you stole the thunderous great one, so I had to share the depressing sad one.
Again, I will reiterate, Luke, get good. That's my answer to that.
I think you just found it because you follow me on Twitter. I think that's really just what it comes down to. I think this popped up on your feed because you follow me.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. I did see a friend post it on Facebook, actually, so it was not from you, but I did not find it myself. I will admit that.
Oh, okay. Not only a plagiarist when it comes to your cheese stories, you're a plagiarist when it comes to your Most Wisconsin Headline of the Week segments, too.
Well, but I didn't steal it from you, and that's all that really matters to me.
You didn't steal both of them from me, that's all.
I don't like you use when I say rock, paper, scissors as an elementary game, I say that with love in that children figured out the best way to decide how to handle our differences. I don't want to flip a coin. I want a skill-based challenge, something that I can consistently defeat someone like Luke at because he is just not good at rock, paper, scissors. So
I don't think you can say that you consistently beat me at it when we've only done one edition of rock, paper, scissors either.
Is a 100% victory rate, okay? I am undefeated against you. Right before we end the break, I want to get to one last call. We got Ross from Middleton on the line. Ross, what's on your mind today on this Friday afternoon?
Hey guys. So the Trump indictment, many of us on the left wing side know he's guilty. People on the right hand side, the Trumpers, believe it's a conspiracy witch hunt. The challenge I think is getting at these people who don't pay attention to the news, and I think that the Trump and the Trumpers are slowly eroding our faith in the FBI and the Justice Department, all those kind of things. They sort of feel like it's all biased, and if the challenge is do they feel like, you know what, maybe our justice system, maybe the whole country is just too political and they don't want to pay attention. The thing that I'm thinking is I would rather have Biden run against Trump. If Trump gets blown out by this indictment, then he also maybe gets knocked out of the primary. Then he's looking at running against DeSantis or somebody else. And then I think he becomes more vulnerable. And then the last thing is I worry about third parties coming in, and I think they're going to blow the whole thing wide open. So it's just, I look at it from the point of view of how can we win the presidency, but yeah, a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Ross. And that's something that we're going to find out in the coming days, weeks, and months. Like we said, it's a long process and the wheels of justice turn slow, but the national ramifications across innumerable different fronts, it's going to make a difference. It's going to be massive. This is a case that we are going to continue to see in the headlines going forward. So we've had a wonderful, wonderful first week with everyone. It was so much fun to join you on Town Call. If you'd like to participate next week, we would love to have you. Please don't hesitate to give us a call, 844-967-2789. Luke, it's always great to see you. Aaron, thanks so much for being here. I hope the two of you and all of Wisconsin have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Talk to y'all then.
Hello, Wisconsin!
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.